If nuclear terror saturated our culture for decades, why didn't that awareness produce coherent, risk-reducing policies? Today's AI and climate advocates rely on a myth that more salience forces better decisions. The Cold War proved awareness alone fails. The answer isn't more fear. It's something far less glamorous. How deeply did nuclear weapons actually penetrate public consciousness? By any measure, completely. Duck and cover drills trained American schoolchildren to hide under desks. Dr. Strangelove and On the Beach reached millions. The Doomsday Clock appeared on magazine covers. The Day After, a 1983 TV film about nuclear war, drew roughly 100 million viewers, the largest audience for a TV movie in American history at that point. For 40 years, existential nuclear risk was not a niche concern. It was the texture of ordinary life. Did public pressure ever meaningfully shift nuclear policy? Sometimes at the margins. The nuclear freeze movement peaked in the early 1980s, with 1 million people marching in Central Park in 1982. Reagan acknowledged it shifted his rhetoric. But arsenals at their Cold War peak reached over 60,000 warheads between the superpowers. The bomb wasn't used after Nagasaki, but that outcome was strategic deterrence, not public sentiment. The most significant risk reduction measures, arms control treaties, hotlines, permissive action links that prevent unauthorized launch, came from technocratic negotiation, not from the street. What explains the persistent gap between awareness and action, even at peak cultural saturation? Cultural awareness runs through a specific bottleneck. It needs to translate into the decision calculus of the small number of people who actually control the relevant levers. During the Cold War, those people were sitting in Moscow and Washington, operating under strategic and institutional constraints that public mood barely touched. Knowing that 1 billion people were scared didn't change the game-theoretic structure of mutually assured destruction. Fear is not a policy. It is only ever the raw material. What did actually reduce nuclear risk during the period of maximum cultural saturation? The hotline between Washington and Moscow, installed after the Cuban Missile Crisis. Permissive action links, physical interlocks that prevent unauthorized launch. The Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Strategic arms limitation talks. These are not cultural products. They are institutional mechanisms that work regardless of whether the public is paying attention, regardless of whether fear is high or low, regardless of the news cycle. The culture made the bomb visible. The institutions made it marginally more controllable. Instead of trying to increase public fear or awareness of catastrophic risks, policymakers should invest in institutional antibodies, bureaucratic mechanisms that automatically slow escalation and force deliberation, regardless of public mood. The Cold War's most effective risk reduction measures, hotlines and permissive action links, were technocratic, not populist. Culture can make the bomb visible, but only institutions can make it controllable. The real question isn't how to make people feel the danger, it's how to build systems that act on that feeling before it fades.